Welcome to the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Live at Ship Brothers Brewing, tonight's show is brought to you by Shamrock Printing, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Par Excellence STEM Academy, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Wright Brothers Power Equipment, and Ship Brothers Brewing. Here's Brian Mays with the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7.
And a pleasant good Monday evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Licking County Locker Room. We are live at Ship Brothers Brewing, 23 West Church Street in Newark. And one of the games we didn't highlight yet, but we're going to do it now, is the game we had for you on Kate 98.7 last Friday night at Walter J. Hodges Stadium. Granville entertaining Johnstown. These two old rivals getting together, and of course the Ivory Jug on the line, which Granville has held for multiple years. And it was a good physical matchup to start that ball game out. Both teams hitting hard and no score for a while, but Granville finally found the opportunity and they took full advantage. Gets the snap. He's going to roll out. Looking. Fires. He's got a man open in the end zone. It is a touchdown for the Blue Aces. Noble Terabu gets the touchdown from 26 yards out, and the Aces crack the scoreboard first, 6-0 with 11:46 second quarter. And to help us with some analysis on that is the first-year head coach of the Granville Blue Aces, Coach Heath Hinton. Coach, first of all, thank you for joining us on this Monday night. And you go back to Friday night. It was everyone just kind of feeling each other out in that first quarter. You had a little bit of rain and so forth, but it didn't seem like there was any panic within the offense. And then Beckett found Noble, and here we went.
Yeah. You know, they have a pretty strong connection and stuff. And you know, those guys are veteran guys, and a lot of those guys played a lot last year. So now Noble didn't play a ton of offense last year. They played a lot of defense. But those guys have worked hard over the summer, and Noble actually came back from a sprained ankle and able to play last week. And, you know, he made the most of his opportunity. I think he had, you know, four catches, I'm sure. I think they were all four touchdowns.
They were.
So, really really good player, and he's doing a lot of great things.
So it was 7-0 Granville, and Johnstown's next offensive possession, it started to click for them on the ground, and they got right back in the ballgame. Marisek under center. Here's the inside handoff to Myers. Breaks a tackle. He's at the 10. He's at the 5 and gets very close to the end zone. They're going to say he crossed it, and it is a touchdown for the Johnnies. So they match fire with fire. I mean, you went through the air. They went through the ground as we usually do. So at that point, a lot of them in the press box saying, hey, this is going to be a 10-round fight. What did you think after that drive by Johnstown?
You know what? We knew that they could run the ball. We knew they're big and physical. And sometimes you've got to get, you know, they run a different offense. And you got to get lined up to it. You got to be able to, you know, match your physicality and just get used to it. I think after that first drive they had and, you know, they scored on, our kids got used to it. You know, we started clicking a little bit on defense, and you know, everybody, you know, we're playing pretty sound on what we're trying to do, and it kind of worked out in our favor just to get, you know, push them behind the chains and get them backed up some. So I think we took it to our advantage that way.
Well, and that was actually the question I was going to ask you, of how you were forcing a 2nd and 8, a 2nd and 9. What they really want to do is very vital to what happens on first down. And I just really thought you guys forced them into positions they just didn't really want to be in from that second quarter on.
Well, I know you can talk to our two kids are here tonight. They play defensive line for us and offensive line, and they did a tremendous job on the upfront stuff. And it kept our linebackers clean, and they were able to scrape and stuff. When our linebackers can be clean and get to the ball and run free, it becomes a really good opportunity for us.
So still in the second quarter, it's now 7-6, and the Granville passing attack decided it was time to go to pay dirt one more time. Long to throw. He is looking deep. He's got a man open, and what a catch! And it's a house call for the Blue Aces. Another touchdown for Noble Terabu, his 2nd of the evening. That from 37 yards out. Good pitch and catch right there. Beckett throws a really good deep ball. It doesn't seem like he has to put a lot on it, but it just seems to just flow right to where the receivers are going to go.
Yeah, I think that one, right? I can't remember that one was the one that, man, like Noble made a play on a ball and he actually broke back inside the DB and stuff. So he made a really good play on it. And, Beckett has, like I said, had a lot of confidence in him. So we were able to get that connection again. And I tell you what, that taking the top off the defense is really vital for us. And, you know, sometimes you can't load the box on us. So very nice touch for us.
Well, these guys decided, hey, we're not done with two touchdowns. And as we got towards halftime, this, I think, was a huge opportunity for the Blue Aces to kind of not say put the game away, but when you go up two scores, that's a lot different for a running attack. So Noble and Beckett, one more time. Long looking in the end zone, fires, and it's a house call for the Blue Aces. Beckett Long with his third touchdown pass. And how about the third one to Terrible? Boy, they are connecting big time tonight. They would have one more later in the game for four scores. So did you see just the opportunity? Because he's got Culver and Yeager, two other very good wide receivers, but we just saw the opportunity here to take advantage of it?
Well, you know, sometimes it depends where the ball's at in the field, too. So if it's in the boundary, we went trips the other way, I believe, and able to get some one-on-one matchups. You know, our offense coordinator does a good job. Coach Becker does a good job of just, you know, putting our guys in the right situations. And I think he did a great job calling the game that night and be able to come up, you know, with some big scores right before the half. And we've been able to do that last couple of weeks, which is really, you know, when we get the ball in the second half, really turns around that, you know, the two possessions, you know, right back to back almost.
Well, and it was 21-6 at the break. You mentioned you get the ball to start the second half. Again, a nice methodical drive down the field. And Beckett, his arm was getting tired, so he said, let me do it with my legs. Good job by Beckett Long. He keeps it 10-5. House call, Blue Aces. That was kind of easy right there. That might have been the easiest run all night. I think you did maybe break their back on that one because just they had the opportunities. They couldn't stop you, and then he just found the opening by the offensive line, took it to the right side, ball game.
Yeah, you know, he's a very effective runner. He's very elusive sometimes. He also put his shoulder down stuff. So, yeah, he does a great job of commanding our offense and, you know, very smart kid. So he knows how to do it. That was a little read option right there. So it was nice to, you know, for him to fake the running back. Everybody's been kind of key on, and then, you know, he keeps the ball like one or two times a game, and he's able to make some big plays out of it.
And we didn't mention it in these highlights, but Theo Talbot had a great ball game as well. He did score later in that ball game when the game was out of reach. But after having just 41 yards against Clear Fork as a team, we knew they were going to try to stop you. But to have that balance on Friday night, that had to make you feel good.
Yeah, it does. You know, he's coming along strong right now. A lot of that stuff has to do with the upfront guys, you know, giving him some holes. But he makes them, you know, when he gets contact on him, you know, whether it be an outside run, inside run, he's gonna make it, you know, go for, you know, 4 or 5 more yards and keeps his shoulder pads down and, you know, gets those extra yards. And then, you know, the second and longs now become second and shorts, you know, which makes us a lot better play callers too, and it puts us in better situations.
So I know at least at one point in that ball game, and it might have ended up this way, you would know better than I do, but I don't think Granville completed any third downs, but you were perfect on fourth downs.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, if anyone's going to look and say, wait, they didn't convert any third downs and they score 48 points. So, okay, figure that one out for me.
Well, I got a lot of confidence in off of the line and what we do. If we're not converting, you know, third downs, and it must be a fourth and short. And sometimes you got to trust your offensive lineman to go get you that, you know, those 6 inches to 2 yards. And if we can do that, and like we did a couple of times with Beckett on quarterback sneaks, you know, and right around that 50-yard line, you know, not – give us another, you know, set of downs, it's really good for us.
So 3 games in, and you have the wrap-up of a 3-game homestand coming up this Friday against Washington Courthouse. overall, your thoughts on this ball club? You're taking everybody's best shot, and so far you're 3-0.
Yeah, you know, it's a fun environment to be around. Coming from a couple different schools, and just being around these kids and these families, and the fans in the stands, and our student section is awesome. It's one of the best environments I've been around as a high school coach, and being in charge of something that is already established, and just trying to hang on and put my little spins on stuff. But our kids know how to win. They know how to play really fast, and as Dylan Lane says, you play physical fast and fearless fast and physical all the time. So we love our kids, and our kids are paying us back with a lot of physicality. Sometimes they do a great job of being motivated to go play.
One of the things I've noticed about this program, and again, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like it's very business-like leading up, getting ready for Friday night, and they're very focused throughout the game. And yet, when they get the victory, there is this celebration. They are enjoying winning games, and it's even when they're favored a lot or anything, but it seems like, hey, we're going to celebrate this because we've earned it for how hard we practiced and what we just did for four quarters.
Yeah, we talk a lot about kind of being in that moment of, it's just Friday nights are special. We're already in week four. Our seniors, starting to count down those home games now. And it's a special time for them. And we've done a good job of just, going out and playing with enough emotion throughout the game that, our kids are having fun. We want them to have fun. We want to go out and compete and have fun and win. And that's kind of our mindset from starting from February on. And we competed in the weight room, and now we're competing on the football field, and we're having fun at it, and that's what football should be about. It's really fun to win, but also fun to compete with your buddies.
So you're going to, in just a couple of years, be 20 years as a high school football head coach. We're not there yet, but you're getting there. What drove you into it? I mean, obviously, you've been around football basically your entire life, and some famous relatives have been involved in this. But one, what got you into it? And two, why do you keep doing it?
Yeah, I enjoyed the game of football and tried to play as long as I could. And I was coached by my uncle, who's a Hall of Famer. I was influenced by my other uncle, who's at Ohio State right now and coaching Mary Hardin High School, which I took over at one time. And I got a great wife that allows me to do my job and stays home with me, with my kids, and takes care of a lot of things, behind the scenes, which allows me to spend a lot of time with these kids. And I think really when it comes down to it, I was really excited to be a head coach. I'm really more excited to watch our kids grow and compete and, to become, young men. They come in the program being 14, 15 year olds, and you watch those kids, mature until they're in high school and they graduate and they come back and see you. And I think that's kind of the greatest compliment, to have those guys want to come back and just say hi to you and smile and be in a weight room sometimes, when they're off from college playing football. And I got a lot of great relationships at every place I've been as a head coach, and I just feel like your influence is tremendous, and that my uncles and my head coaches and in college, they influenced me a lot, and I enjoy those relationships, and I think our kids enjoy the relationship they have with their teammates, and I think they're also with the coaching staff too. So I'm looking forward to coaching a while here and see how it goes. I think we got a couple special classes, and then got a really special senior group right now.
And we know the game has changed since you started as a head coach, and a lot of rule changes and how you can even practice. Some people think the athlete has changed, the player has changed. Have you seen that as much, or is it more the game itself?
Sure, we talk about it all the time. We got a great strength coach, and Coach Left. And Coach Left and I, when I got hired, I wanted to make sure it's the first time I ever had a strength coach. And, talked about sprint-based football and how we can get our kids healthy and keep them healthy as much as we can. And he's been a driving point to this, and using our technology that's out there. And I've never seen a guy that, really, he's really smart at what he does, and we have some technology with our the same stuff like a high state does with our chip device, our Titan chip device. It tells you, it tracks how much they run and how fast they go, but really just tracks how much wear and tear is on the body. And then, we're trying to get our kids to leaving the weight room during the season, and they're doing a good job of it. And we're sprinting a couple of days a week, which are making us still play fast. And I believe in what he provides for us each and every day, being around our kids and being around our kids in the off season, even if they're playing not football all the time, maybe playing different sports. He does a tremendous job out there, and just keeping our kids healthy and keeping them interested, and just being a solid unit when we can't always be around them.
Right.
He kind of makes our glues every sports program together there at the high school. So can't say enough about them and our administration too to make sure that, you know, he stays around, and they do a good job providing opportunities for our kids to get out there and play, you know, at a great stadium.
And the kids seem to take onus of what is needed from them when they're not playing or not practicing. It seems like there's more responsibility on them, and that's not easy to do when you're 15, 16, 17 years old.
No, it don't matter where you're at. You know, kids are kids. You know, they're active, they're talkative, and you just got to get them to, you know, try to work on their focus and paying attention and knowing that they're the next man up. And it don't matter what age group you're at, or if you're playing JV ball and you don't know the next rep you might be playing, being a varsity starter, and that's how life is sometimes. The next man up, and really, I think those kids are learning some great life lessons.
Speaking of, should we bring a couple of your big boys on?
I tell you what, those guys are special. They're both team captains. I can't say enough about them. They got great families, like a lot of our kids, all of our kids do. And those kids are. That's why we can, you know, win and lose and establish that line of scrimmage. I knew last week was going to be a test for us up front, and those guys, you know, both sides of the ball. Those guys did a great job. Now, we rotate them around. Our coaches do a great job of rotating them, but those guys are special, and they played a lot last year, and they're playing a lot this year, too. So
we'll bring on Mr. Peltzer and Mr. Lane. We'll do that next as you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room live from Ship Brothers Brewing here on Kate 98.7.
This is the Licking County Locker Room Show on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, Kate 98.7.
All right, we get to talk some line play. The guys that get into it, they never hold, they never commit any penalties whatsoever, as far as we know. Dylan Lane and Jackson Pelzer, gentlemen, thank you both so much for joining us. Let's go back to last Friday night. It's a rival game against Johnstown. You both knew it was going to be a very physical matchup. But when I talked to your coach, even in the pregame before the game, to me, it almost seems like the defensive line starts wearing down your opponent's offensive line, and I thought that happened a lot on Friday as you guys were forcing them in second and longs and third and longs, and really any time a running back went up the middle, they were going to fill it. So, Jackson, we'll start with you. What were your thoughts about Friday night?
I just thought we were the most physical team up front. I mean, we take on blocks, let our linebackers do all the tackles and everything. We got a great linebacker core behind us with Kyle Kirby, Cooper Phillips, and Cash Thomas, so we trust those guys a lot to make the tackles in place.
Do you ever have to calm Kirby down? Because he gets a little wound up, I'm sure, even in practice.
I mean, his energy is just unreal. He's always hype about everything. So.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Lane, what did you think about Friday night?
I thought we played pretty well, and we always have a lot of guys on the bench and ready to sub in, so that allows our D-line to, you know, like you said, wear down their offensive line. We always got fresh guys coming in, and like Jackson said, we're always the most physical. We always come off the ball hard and hit the guy in front of us.
And you both mentioned it, and I mentioned it too, because sometimes there's still this stigma, mantra, whatever you want to call it, with Granville has great skill players, but are they going to be physical enough? Now, I've been fortunate to cover your guys' games over the last 4 years. I don't know that there's been too many ball clubs that have been more physical than you. So is that still a chip on your shoulder when you hear that, like Granville's not physical enough?
Yeah, I kind of use it as motivation. You know, whenever we play someone, they want to talk about us not being physical. Like Johnstown said, that they hit the hardest, no one hits with them. We always use that as gas. So.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, just go out there, and that's the way to really, like, beat a team is you run the ball down their throat and just being the most physical team out there. It just makes them give up.
Well, and you look at the skilled players that have been here and then, you know, have gone on and graduated and things of that nature. You've had three quarterbacks basically in the last 4 years. Running backs have changed and everything of that nature. But if you're not physical up front, those skilled guys are not going to be able to do anything. So really, I think it does start with you guys on both sides of the ball and what you need to do. So how, you know, not wanting to get in a lot into practice and things like that, but how do you guys work getting ready in camp and then getting ready for the start of the season? What are some of the key techniques and attributes that you guys focus on for the year?
I think the biggest thing is we've been in the weight room since late December, early January, and in there every 2-3 days a week, and just working our tails off in the off season. So everyone, you know, everyone putting in the work, and then when we get to the real season, we just keep building on the days, stacking the days.
Yeah, I would say just getting strong in the off season, lifting, and I feel like we're a pretty tight knit group, so we all trust each other out there. I feel like that plays like a big part. We all do stuff in the off season, hang out, so I feel like that also helps us be a lot stronger.
And for you, ending the season the way you did last year, which was heartbreaking, and to not be able to participate in the postseason, what did you have to do more types of rehab, or you know, what was your focus in the off season?
Yeah, I was doing physical therapy, so going through all that, I just wanted to get back on the field for senior season, because I mean, it just hurt not being able to play with my guys in the playoff run especially, so I just want to make sure I was back healthy and ready to help ready out the season.
One thing I asked Coach, and you guys are so business-like getting ready for the game, and then there's just this oomph, and I know it was Johnstown and it means a little bit more, but the way you guys also celebrate the victories, it's like we're putting the time in, we're going to celebrate this as a group. And you guys mentioned the student section standing there and the band playing the alma mater. It just seems like everybody's in with this program right now.
I mean, yeah, we have a great atmosphere at the Hodge. The student section's always jump around the deck, everything. I mean, it's just great atmosphere playing, the band's going, great fans, everything.
Yeah, we have one of the best, band in Licking County, and it's just, that's what it's all about. Just working your tail off Monday through Friday, or Monday through Thursday, going out on Friday night and hanging out with your friends, and then kicking butt and hanging out some more.
Well, and you've won 21 of your last 23 home games, so you're definitely getting it done year in and year out with that. As captains, that's a huge honor, and it is always, what is your legacy going to be when you leave here, and what are you leaving for the deep freshman, sophomore classes that are coming up? So, Dylan, we'll start with you. What does it mean to be a captain, and how do you take that role?
Well, I guess I just try and be the most responsible person I can be the best version of me, and I think that's the legacy I want to leave, is it doesn't matter who you are, but as long as you're being the best you, then it doesn't matter. Then everything will turn out great.
I would say it's like just, the effort, and like you set the tone. Like out there as a captain, everybody's looking at you like, oh, they're working really hard, so I need to work hard too. Or if they're slacking, well, maybe I can slack too. It's kind of setting the tone with everybody, making sure that everybody's doing their best, everybody's putting in all the effort, and that's really what makes teams great.
Because you really can't take a rep off, you really can't take a playoff, because they are watching you all the time. That is for sure. And speaking about all the time, what's it like knowing you're getting everybody's best shot on a Friday night? I mean, the bullseye has been there. It seems like everybody has relished that. But you know, I don't care if it's Marion Franklin, Licking Valley, whoever it is going to be, they want to knock off Granville. So is that a pride thing? Do you welcome that that challenge each and every week?
Yeah, I know pretty much all the guys do on the team, because it just pushes us harder. So we got to prepare, and we know that, like you said, everyone's giving us their best shot, so we can't take a day off and just got to go out there.
Jackson?
Yeah, we got to prepare the same every week, no matter who we're playing. Just go out there, play our best, and good things will happen. So,
all right, let's bring Coach in here for just a minute. Just you talked about these two before we went to break, but really even the whole senior class and the leadership, can you put into words what this group has been able to do?
You know, they've done a great job. I don't know what their career record is, but I know they've had a lot of people in front of them that's kind of paved that path for them, and you know, really impressed with how they started off the season so far, and just how the locker room's been, the weight room sessions, and you know, just pulling those younger guys along, and man, just making them feel a part of the team. And that's what everybody wants to feel, to be a part of a team that, you know, is tight and has a great unity. I think these guys provide that.
Well, you had to deal with this guy last year as an assistant, and now he's the head coach. So we have no delay button here, so it's going to be perfectly honest. What has it been like working with Coach Hinton?
I mean, it's been great. He brings a lot of energy to the team. It's always making us do our best. Running on and off the field is a big thing, which I agree with, because it's just the little things that make programs great. I mean, it's just doing little things right.
So now, and remember, you guys are seniors, so he can't do much to you at this point. So you don't have to be that nice. But Dylan, what do you think?
He always says healthy and happy athletes, and I think he really sticks to that. You know, he's always making sure our weight's up and feeding us stuff and keeping us fed. And, you know, I feel like everything we do in practice is really helping us, and everyone likes what we do, so then people are more into it.
And he's adding what he needs to add as a head coach, but he's also been a part of the program, and we've had multiple coaches over the last 7-8 years go through it, but it really has been, I think, led, as we talked about it, by each class. What do we want to leave? And it was classes before, it was winning the LCL Buckeye, and then it was not just making the playoffs, it was making winning that first playoff game. So here you guys are kind of at the epicenter of where Granville wanted to be, say 10 or 12 years ago. So obviously those goals are still there. You want to make it as far as you can in the postseason. Is there anything that I'm not hitting on that you guys either focus as captains, team leaders, or just as a team that you're trying to accomplish this year?
No, I mean, a big part for us, I mean, our freshman year, we got to see that incredible senior class lead us all the way to the state semifinals. So I feel like that sets the precedent. Like for our teams to be great and go far. So, I mean, just building on that and setting a good example for the younger classes to carry on. So,
yeah, like Jackson said, make it farther every year. And I think the biggest thing is for right now, I know you said our overall goal, our end goal, but we just got to take it one game at a time. I think it helps not to get too far ahead of ourselves.
No question about that. All right, so back to Friday night. Got a little bit testy at the end. There were a few personal fouls. So this is where I'm asking the linemen. When the other team is trying to get your goat, and you know you want to hopefully get him in the trenches where nobody sees, how do you keep that composure while still playing as physical as you can when maybe the opponent is trying to bait you into something?
I think a lot of guys any of them, they try and trash talk a lot and get under my skin, and I just, one thing that helps me is I just never talk, like, other than JP. I just always keep my mouth shut and let them do it, and then try and beat them on the field, you know, inside the whistle.
Yeah, like what he said, I don't really listen to all the trash talking stuff, but, I mean, you can just beat them in and out the whistle, and I feel like that speaks enough. You don't really need to do stuff out of the play that can possibly hurt the team. I mean, if you're just destroying them when the whistle's on, that's perfectly legal.
Right.
I don't see the reason or anything else.
And, Coach, have you seen that with that mentality? Because it's easy to – there was a game I watched where it was a number 78, not for us or anything like that, but he got pushed at the end. He turns around, pushes the guy in the back. They had 3rd-and-1 and ends up being 3rd-and-16. So is it just that right mentality to have?
Yeah, you know, I think our kids handle their emotions pretty well. Yeah, I really believe our kids understand that, you know, those type of penalties hurts a team.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to be selfish and be has some discipline in their life. And, you know, a lot of our kids do. They understand what it takes to be a championship-level team and the process it takes to be there. And, you know, just like any type of penalties, and they hurt you and they hurt the team. So, you know, we can eliminate those you know, post possession penalties and those pre possession penalties. I think we got a great chance to go out there and win each and every week. And I think our kids handle themselves, you know, hopefully, you know, with a lot of class and stuff, and that, you know, just get those wins with pride.
So, Jackson, what makes your partner here so good?
I mean, he's just physical, like right when the ball snapped to before the whistle ends. I mean, he's just giving all he's got, and I would say he's the hardest worker on the team. Whether it's the off season, in season, I feel like he's always doing his best and really just bringing everybody up with him. So,
same question to you, Dylan, on Jackson.
He's probably the most, like, well, I guess the smartest person on the line or in that entire part of the team. He knows the answer to every single question you could have. Like, if an underclassman has a question about a play or how it should be ran or how we used to run it last year, he's the guy. He knows it all. Probably knows it better than the coach. Sorry, coach.
I think you'll be all right with that. Do you watch a lot of line play at the either the college and pro level to look at some different types of tips and tricks that you might be able to use in your games on Friday night?
Yeah, especially with pass rushing and different combinations on my moves. I try and switch it up a little bit and practice new ones so they don't get the same look every time.
I think there's always like stuff you can improve on and new stuff that you can learn. So like learning like new footwork or new steps or new angles to take, I feel like it's really important to helping you make better blocks and on defense, just like different pass moves and different stuff to throw them off.
Do you prefer offense or defense, or line play is line play?
I prefer defense just because that's what I started at sophomore year, and it just came more natural to me. And offensive line, I feel like you need a little bit more butt to move some guys around.
Okay.
I would say I prefer offense. I mean, that's what I've been playing. I played D-line too, but mostly in my high school career, I played O-line. So, I mean, defense is fun, but I prefer O-line.
What are your thoughts on your quarterback, Beckett Long? Because numbers-wise, it wasn't a great night. But he leads you to the end zone. He throws four touchdown passes. He gets one in himself. So tell me about the type of leadership he brings when he comes out on the field.
I mean, he's just a great leader and incredible athlete. I mean, he's dual threat quarterback. He can sling and then he can run too. I mean, it's just great to have. I mean, especially pass. I mean, somebody gets through in the pocket, he can scramble, and we know he can still get a lot of yards. So, I mean, he's just incredible for our offense.
He seems very middle of the road when we're looking in the press box. Doesn't get too high or too low. Is he like that on the field?
Yeah, I would say he keeps pretty level head. So, yeah, that really helps him out a lot.
Yeah, he definitely shows emotion, but he's always keeping it under check. Like, he knows when if he's going to take it too far, and he dials it back down. Really well controlled.
And I'm sure, again, from line play, when you had only 41 yards rushing against Clearfork, then Theo has a monster night, and it's back to where Granville lights, a little balance of run and throw. So I'm sure, as a line, you were going to establish that line of scrimmage against Johnstown.
Yeah, I mean, when we can, we just like to run the ball. I mean, choose the clock down, really just demoralize the defense when you know you can just run it and just get yards every time. They can't stop it. I mean, that's just how you put games away.
Yeah, coach is always saying to impose your will on the other team. So I feel like if we're moving on run game, then that does a great job of imposing our will.
All right, let's get to it. Why is Josh Allen your favorite player?
Well, he's just an all-around great quarterback, and I think he's the best quarterback, maybe not ever, but he's on his way to that. He's a little young for that right now. And he's always he's a team player. You know, one time he got in a fight with his lineman, got in a scuffle, and he jumped right in there and started fighting with him. So I really think that's important.
Be nice if he won a big game. I'm just saying.
It would be, but he's lacking the teammates right now.
Okay, fair enough. Who's your favorite player?
I mean, my dad lived in Green Bay for a while, so Packers. I like Aaron Rodgers.
What is happening to the show? We got Allen and Rodgers going on. All right. Now, did he like Rodgers more than Brett, or was it about the same?
I don't know. I'd say probably about the same.
But he's probably devastated with Love going out with the injury.
Yeah, I know. That was terrible. Especially, like, so late in the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, well, I want to say I wish you both with your NFL teams, but or your players, but I'll, you know, good luck with the fantasy. We'll leave it at that. Hopefully they'll do well for you. Guys, already great careers at Granville, what you guys have been able to accomplish. I know the bar is very high for this season, but you're off to a 3-0 start, and I know when that first AP poll comes out, you're going to be definitely ranked in the top 10. So what you're doing is working. Keep it up, and good luck against Washington Courthouse Friday night.
Thank you.
All right, we'll wrap up this edition of The Locker Room next as we are listening live from Ship Brothers Brewing here on Kate 98.7.
This is the Licking County Locker Room, live at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
And once again, thanks to our guest tonight from Granville, head coach Heath Hinton, along with lineman Dylan Lane and Jackson Pelzer. They will continue to do a great job leading the way for Granville. They host Washington Courthouse this Friday night and trying to move to 4-0 on the season, looking for another big run come LCL Buckeye and then postseason. We wish them the best of luck. Our Friday night game will be at Hanover, Randy Boffman Stadium, as the 2-1 Licking Valley Panthers play host to the 1-2 Heath Bulldogs. Valley getting a huge win at Bishop Reedy last Friday night in the final seconds, 20-14. 14, and the Bulldogs trying to snap a two-game losing streak after losing at home to Buckeye Valley and then at Creston Norwayne. All the action right here on Kate 98.7, pregame at 6:45, and the live kickoff at 7 p.m. Our next Licking County Locker Room show will be this coming Monday. We'll have Lakewood joining us here from Ship Brothers Brewing. Hopefully you can join us as well, either in person or on the air. We'll have it starting at 6:30. That's next Monday. It's the Lakewood Lancers right here on the Licking County Locker Room. CJ, well done. Good show tonight. You're welcome. That'll do it from this Monday evening. This is Brian Mays. Hope everyone has a great Monday evening and rest of the week. And we'll talk to you soon. You've been listening to the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers Brewing, right here on Kate 98.7.
This has been the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Tonight's show was brought to you by Shamrock Printing, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Par Excellence STEM Academy, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Wright Brothers Power Equipment, and Ship Brothers Brewing.